Sometimes you just like to know what some of them are thinking, you know. And then they might say some things and be really accurate and true and honest. And Ryan, our grandson, 2 weeks ago, we were over at Caleb and Leah's house, and he's sitting on my lap and looking me in my eyes and looks down at my belly and looks back in my eyes and, "Papa, you've got a big belly." "Yes, I do. Yes, I do, Ryan." And, of course, Leah grabs him and says, "Ryan, you can't say that. That's not nice." You know, children are honest. They are. I know in the times growing up with our kids, God would speak to me through my kids. They'd say things. Just God would use that to convict me, to know how hard-hearted I was or how callous I was. You know, to see these children up here and see the tenderness in their heart, very pliable. They're looking to people like us who are walking in a walk of faith. They want to see God real in our lives. They do. They want to know that what we believe in our and what we hope in is real and true and right and just and holy. So important for us to be walking with the Lord and hearing from the Lord and letting God change us. I want to be changed by God. God has left every one of us here in this life so we'll still be changed. He's not done with us. He really isn't. He wants to conform every one of us to the image of Jesus Christ. Oh, that God would grant that grace to change us. None of that was part of the message. I have written here, Psalm 143, verse 8 says, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto you." Let's pray. Lord, it's our desire this morning that we would hear from you. In hearing from you, we have a hope to be able to be changed by your grace. So as you pour out your grace upon each one of our hearts today, you know every one of us can be easily distracted. We can be busy. But Lord, in the stillness of your voice, speak to us. Still our hearts. Cause us to rest. And Lord, so that we can hear your loving kindness this morning from your word. Lord, we lift up our souls to you this morning. Our hope is in you. So please, Holy Spirit, please speak to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you prayed for me for a PowerPoint. I did it. But you don't see it. I've mentioned I'm not a techie. I'm technically challenged. So as I sent the email, apparently I forgot to attach it. So my wife said, "What did you do?" I said, "Apparently it's what I didn't do." Had a handful of slides, some scriptures, some pictures, and we'll just trust the Lord to still speak to us this morning. But continue to pray for me in this area of technological learning that I have. It's not a disability. It's just I've got to get a little smarter. So it's good to see Bernie with us this morning. Bernie, we're so glad you're back with us. We've prayed for you. You're an answer of prayers. We see you this morning. You're a blessing. What a joy. our dear brother. How are you doing? We're going to be speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And how are you doing in allowing the Lord to work in your life in the area of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? How are you doing? You say, John, what are you talking about? Are you seeing God change you? Is He allowing you to go through trials to produce the fruit that He is longing to be flowing from your life? Are you crying out for more grace to love more like Jesus Christ? Do you find yourself in situations with an individual that you say, I'm not so sure I can love this individual? God wants to love that person through you. As we receive His grace, the Holy Spirit that's in you allows that love to flow through you out to those individuals. You're going to find at times one another, even within the body here, will find difficulty at times to love one another. You know that to be true. You know? Ken will not let me hug him if I have Michigan attire on. Okay? That's just a little bit of a distance of a love. Now, I realize that's kind of, you know, superficial and it's, you know, the attire. But if we're honest with each other, there are moments somebody may say something to us and say, you know, a reaction comes up when there needs to be genuine love given to that individual at that moment. Are you crying out for more grace as you walk in joy amidst the struggles and trials that you face? Last week, Scott spoke on the face of the bulletin, it says, tried by fire. My week has been tried by fire. If you knew how many parts I scrapped out this week, and each time I said, Lord, I want to be joyful in this. It's not easy. Then I got to go to my supervisor and say, I scrapped out so many parts. How'd you do it? Well, I did it this way. Well, what'd you do it that way for? That's what I'm asking myself. Are you sensing the peace of Christ in the moments of turmoil and unsettledness? Our dear brother Phil, his father, passed away this past week. I know he has sensed the peace of Christ. He said so. He said so because we've been praying for him and his family. And so as we pray, God changes. God works in each other's lives. But we still have a responsibility to sense the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God as we find ourselves in situations. It's not just conjuring up within our own physical beings of who we are. It's the grace of God in our lives that has changed us and allowing that fruit to be cultivated in us that as we walk on a daily basis, it's flowing not only to others, but also in our own presence before the Lord. Are you allowing God to change you? How are you doing in this area of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? How about being long-suffering with people? Driving along. Person turns. You didn't turn his turn signal on. Driving along, somebody's going to turn left, and all of a sudden they want to stop in the lane, not in the left turn lane. And then they decide to turn. Or you're driving along, someone's over here, and they got to get over here, and they just, whoop, no turn signal. That's long suffering. Have to be patient, enduring for somebody that, and I realize just driving, I'm just giving tidbits here. But how about being long suffering with your husband and your wife, your kids, your co-workers? Is the Holy Spirit cultivating that in your life so that it's very evident and it's flowing? is a fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is longing to produce the very character of Christ in us as we yield to Him and His grace. It is a work that He must perform. We are not able to cultivate or conjure it up in ourselves by ourselves. We need Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? Say, well, I'm already saved. Hallelujah. But I can tell you this morning, I need Jesus. We need to recognize that the fruit that comes from our lives is for the blessings of others and for the praise and the honor and glory of God. It's a living example of who God is in us. Do we benefit from it? Yes, we do. Let's turn on over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, if you would. That verse was actually would have been actually on the overhead there. And as you read that verse, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, temperance. Against there is such no law. That word kindness there is in the Greek, there's only 10 times that word is written. In the KJV, there's 4 times it's written as goodness, 4 times it's written as kindness, and 1 time it's written as gentleness, and another time it's just written as good. In the ESV, the Bible that the church is, that's in the pews, which for me is slowly winning me over based on just a beautiful writing of the scriptures and translation. But in the ESV, the translation of that same word, 9 times it's written as kindness. And what I found as I was going through the scriptures to see the different verses and how they were applied, the Greek word itself. I myself, though I'm not a Greek scholar, I'm a simple man. I'm a very simple man. I want to say what I mean what I say. Unfortunately, even as close as my wife and I are, some of the times I'll say things and she'll turn her head at me and say, what in the world are you saying? So I really look at myself as a simple man. The Greek is not a simple language. It's complex. Sometimes I walk away scratching my head and say, I don't have a clue. The Holy Spirit takes that, begins to teach and show me things that I just need to apply in my own life. I think we need to dig deeper into the scriptures. I think that reading multiple translations is healthy for us. I think reading commentaries, though we need to be careful not only focus on one commentary, but we know that the body of Christ is vast and broad. And as we spend our time looking at the scriptures and hearing from what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us, and make sense of what God is saying to us. So that word kindness there in the Greek is called Christotes. And this is my own definition. It is the Holy Spirit that produces the moral goodness that carries with it the idea of service. Okay, so it's that moral excellence that's in our lives that comes by the Holy Spirit, because the word itself describes God as being kindness. Well, look at a couple of the scriptures this morning, and you'll see in various texts where it says, let's Turn over to Romans chapter 2, verse 3, if you would. I was blown away seeing the Greek word saturated throughout the New Testament and just being challenged by just what God, their very essence of who God is and how He's manifested Himself to us, that we serve a very kind God. Romans 2, verse 3 says, "Do you suppose, O man, who judge those who practice such things, yet you do them yourselves, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" His very essence of His nature wants to lead us to a place that we would repent, that we would turn. When we recognize that the holiness of God and we in our sin, we ought to quickly turn to Him and repent of our sin, turn away from it. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. I'm going to give you a couple other texts, but we won't open them up right now. Then you can look at them later. Romans chapter 3, verse 12. It's used there. If you'll write them down, because I'm going to jump through here a couple of them and come back down to where I'd like to be. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. In that verse alone, that Greek word's used three times. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. And of course, here in Galatians 5:22, the word is used. And then let's turn on over to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. In times past in my life, before I came to Christ, I was just a kind person. I wasn't your brawler. I didn't get in fights. I just wasn't. But I wanted to be a kind person. I wanted people to like me. So if I was kind, I could get people to like me. The difference between then and now is the focus of who gets the glory. The focus when I was before Christ, the kindness that I would try and display, which was just my humanity, wanted to get you to like me. Me, 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 me. Now, as Jesus has changed me, it's not about me. It's about Him. And so, as I walk in the kindness that He provides for me through the fruit of the Spirit, I want you to see Him. I want the glory and praise to go to Him, not me. Because quite honestly, when I measure the kindness, I'm a very cruel person. I really am. I'm very vicious. I'm very ugly. You say, "Oh, well, I've had a couple of you say, I just don't see that in you. You don't spend enough time with me." That woman over there spends a lot of time with me. She even made a comment the other day. She said, "You're way too hard on yourself. I don't see that." It's not what I need to hear. I need the affirmation that what I who I am, but then who am I in Christ? And I'm so glad that God looks to me, looks at me in Christ. Because that's where my hope's at. Again, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Is that for me? You're very kind. Thank you for showing kindness to me. It is. It really is. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, we'll start. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." A hallelujah needs to go right there. "So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness," same Greek word, "in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." See, this whole area of the kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, it's who God is. All those things that are written there in the fruit of the Spirit, it's who God is. He wants us to become just like Him. And He's giving you the Holy Spirit that dwells in you and lives in you and works in you so that we can be just like God. Now, isn't it fascinating back in the garden when Satan says, he knows that if you eat of this tree, you'll be just like Him. Deception. Lie. And yet God sent His Son, Jesus, who then gave us the Holy Spirit so we can be like Him. And that's the only way we'll be like Him. In your own effort, in your best effort, you'll never be like God. Never. I have to be careful because we're here. I want to cross over and give you the next message. And I can't do that. The riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Is kindness flowing from you? Not so that people would be drawn to you, but that they would be drawn to Christ. You see, when God showed His kindness towards you, what did it do? It drew you to Christ. It opened you up your eyes to see who Jesus was. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. We're told by Paul here, the couple of verses that Dave had read this morning, let the word of Christ dwell. A couple of verses before that, starting in verse 12, says, we need to put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, same Greek word. Paul's telling us this is something that you need to be having on and in your life. Humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. See some similarities with the fruit of the Spirit there? That we need to be putting on in our lives? Now, it's not something that we can just simply put like I'm putting on a pair of shoes or a pair of pants or a shirt. I can't do that unless it's the grace of God in my life. Ken said something the other day on Wednesday. And sometimes what he said was going back to Romans chapter 11, verse 36, that it's from God. You know, it's from Him and through Him and in Him and to Him. And then we get the grace and we get to do it again. And we get the grace and we get to do it again. Grace. And sometimes we hear things like that and our eyes just kind of roll over and think, I heard this before, you know. But really, it's a cycle by which God has designed for every one of us to receive grace from Him so that we can live for Him, so that we can give honor and glory back to Him, and so that others would be drawn to Him because it's all about Him. And that's why we need Jesus, because it's all about Him and not about us. Don't stop saying it. Please don't stop saying it. Kindness. Let's turn over to Titus chapter 3, verse 3. I experienced these specific verses this week. I'll share that testimony with you in a little bit. Verse 3, Titus 3, chapter 3:3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hating by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs, the children of God, according to the hope of eternal life. The loving kindness of God. So this, when I say that this kindness, it comes with a moral excellence, but it's tied to service or an action, there's got to be something that takes place as we express or display the work of God in our lives to others. Kindness isn't just simply standing there and saying, I am kindness. There's an action to it. Every time the scriptures refers to that word, there's a movement, there's an action, there's something that's been accomplished. There's a doing. Grace does that to our lives. It has to do that to our lives. And if it's not doing it, then I have to ask the question, what is the resistance? Where's the hindrance? Because grace isn't just given to you to keep and not give away. The scripture's saturated with it, of the responsibility we have as believers. Kindness is not something that we are just simply born with outside of the new birth. It's something that's learned. When we become a believer, the Holy Spirit wants to bring out of our lives for the sake of a lost and dying world in hopes that they might see Christ in us. So when I speak of kindness flowing from our lives, I'm not talking about right now. There's movement a couple of years ago about the random act of kindness. Now, I'm not going to say that the Holy Spirit can't use those random act of kindnesses. By no means. Random means, Webster's definition means, without a definite aim. When we look at the scriptures and see everything about Jesus, and what's hopeful for me is because there's times it says, as Jesus passed by, and all of a sudden He's ministering. As He's walking from Jericho, blind Bartimaeus cries out. You know, you say, well, that's random that He stops and He heals blind. Listen, nothing about the life of Jesus was random. Everything was intentional. He had a purpose, a design, and the whole goal was to honor and glorify His Father in heaven. And apart from Him, He did nothing. So I'm not trying to be critical about this random act of kindness. What I'm saying here is we need to be Spirit-led to walk in the ways of kindness. So as the Holy Spirit leads, as many as there's... Oh, man. I need to turn there. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. We've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm only going to show kindness to you if the Holy Spirit leads me. That's not what it's saying. kindness still needs to be flowing from our lives, being intentional to one another, and even to the lost. It's not haphazardness. It's not without purpose, without a goal. And that goal is to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We're told in the Scriptures, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5. So the light that we're showing to a world, it's all encased in works, movement, kindness, motivated by the Holy Spirit, so that they can see Jesus. That doesn't mean this whole concept of random acts of kindness that the world is cultivated. You know, you're in Starbucks and someone behind you pay for their latte. You can do that. The Holy Spirit might lead you to do that. Okay? Or you're in McDonald's line drive through and you're going to pay for the person behind you. The Holy Spirit might prompt you to do that and obey Him. Please obey Him. But we have to intentionally be walking in the Spirit, connection. God, what do you want to do? What do you want me to do? You know, you're driving by on the highway and somebody's got a flat tire. Are you going to stop? Or are you too busy? I remember when God convicted my life back in the mid-80s about going to church every time the doors were open. My family didn't miss a Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer meeting, softball. I didn't miss it. Man, if I could get to heaven on church attendance back then, that was going to happen. Of course, we know that doesn't happen. God convicted me. How He convicted me was, my neighbors saw me go to church all the time, that it was so important, and that was good. But I remember my neighbor, we got some new neighbors that just moved in, and she was in a car accident, in a wheelchair, paraplegic. And Tony and Julie, beautiful couple. They didn't think they'd ever have a baby. She ended up having a baby. But he was in the process of building a car ramp. Wheelchair ramp into the house. And I remember coming out one Sunday morning, he was working on it, and I said, "Morning, Tony." I said, "How you doing?" "Good, good." And I just left. And on the way to church, God began to convict me. He said, "You know, is your Christianity just like that? You need to get dirty with them." So what we began to do as a family is try and hear from the Lord. "God, do you even want me to go Sunday night?" And so we began to miss a couple of Sunday night services so I could help him with that rant. Now, listen, I'm not trying to draw the attention that I'm a good person or anything. The Holy Spirit began to change me and direct me that if I'm going to call myself a believer in Jesus Christ, I really need to do what Jesus would have me to do and be led by the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean coming to church every time the doors open is wrong. By no means. But when you allow it to become an idol to you and control you apart from the Spirit of God, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. Titus, four times that we are to be involved in doing good works. One says to be zealous to good works. Another time, twice it says to maintain good works. It says that to the body of believers. You know, it's in the kindness that the Holy Spirit comes from our lives to do good works. Can I define what those good works are? I can't do that to you. The Holy Spirit wants to define that in your own personal life as you follow the Spirit of God, as you listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you say, John, I'm not sure I know what the Holy Spirit or how He speaks to you, ask Him. Ask Him. Listen. Listen. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, we might close a little early. That would be a first for me. And it's not because we don't have the slides. Believe it or not, I've already covered most of the slides. But in the parable of the Good Samaritan, you can turn here. I think it's Luke 10. Yeah, it is. Luke 10. Luke 10, 25. And you want a picture of God's kindness, and I'll just give this to you. You can write it down and read it later. In the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 9, you'll see the heart of God work through the heart of David in the whole concept of the kindness of God. And really, that whole chapter is played out in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. It comes alive there. But the parable of the Good Samaritan, it says, and behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? What a question. Who's your neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on by the other side. So likewise, the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever you will spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be the neighbor of the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, you go and do likewise. This whole area of kindness coming from our lives needs to be displayed as the Good Samaritan. You know, in some sense, this is talking about the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the outcast. He was the Samaritan. You and I are the ones who have been attacked and destroyed almost, left for half dead, and deserve death apart from God. And He came and ministered to us. Healed us. Saved us. Willing to pay the price to take care of us. Two of them didn't. Why did the Samaritan? Could it be that maybe he had fallen upon some hard times and somebody had done the same thing for him? Possibly. You know, there's many, many things that could be taken from this whole text. But are we willing to spend of ourselves, led by the Holy Spirit, to do or count the cost to do what is necessary to take care of somebody? What does kindness look like? This is kindness. It's motivated by compassion. It's motivated by mercy. The love of... When my dad came to live with us, I had mentioned to you, me and my dad were not friends. We just weren't close, never close. I learned more about my dad. I didn't even know he was in the military till he came to live with us. Okay? So, you know, those types of things, you just... It's not that my dad was a bad man. He wasn't a bad man. He was a very accomplished man, good man, kind man. We just weren't close. Part of that, I'm sure, I hold responsibility for. Somebody said, why would you have your dad come live with you? It's because the love of Christ compels me, constrains me, controls me to do what he asked me to do. That's the only reason. And in that time, as we had my dad, and it was, believe it or not, it was 3 years ago today, Dad came to live with us. It was a year ago Dad passed away. But I was able to learn kindness, and I was able to see kindness exude that came from the life of my wife towards a man that was pretty ugly towards her. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that will cause us to do things that is out of our comfort zone, something that we're not accustomed to. And he calls us to do. He wants us to be living examples of his love and his kindness and his goodness and his joy and his mercy to a lost and dying world. But we've got to be listening to the Holy Spirit as he leads and directs us. Because some of that stuff can still be done in the flesh because we get the glory. God's got to get the glory. So what are some of the things that we can do to show kindness? You can serve someone a meal, help them with their ramp, change a tire, a flat tire on the side of the road, buy someone's meal. There's many things. It's just not limited to one or two things. But I will say this to you. I didn't know the impact something was going to happen. God had prompted Chris and I and some of you others to take meals up to Little Points last week. And we did. Chris and I did. With no intentions, no agenda or anything, but I wanted to pray for the family. Walked in. I'd never met his family before. So I walked in. Gave him the food. A lot of people there. I said, can I pray for you? Everyone said yes. Phil's mom got in close. I think Phil was right next to me. And I just prayed. That one moment of praying for them had a great impact upon that family. Ask Phil and Bet. They told me this morning. Said, you praying for them had a bigger impact than the food you guys brought. That's kindness. And see, God has convicted me. He's convicted me in the last couple of years because sometimes I'll tell you to your face, I'll pray for you, and I'll walk 10 feet and forget about it. I want to pray for you when I prayed for Tony. Tony's prayed for me, you know. Dick's prayed for me. Pulled his hand right on me and prayed for me. I don't know if you're like me, but I want to, if I say I'm going to pray for you, I want to do it. And I just want to do it right then and there. This past week, I had one of my coworkers come up to me, who I've been talking to and seeing the Lord work in his life and everything. He turned the corner. He came down and he's kind of a tough guy, and but a tender heart. Came over and I said, how you doing? He just started crying. I thought, man, didn't anticipate having that impact on somebody. He said, I just got word last night. My sister Tina has got cancer throughout her whole body. They don't expect her to live. Tina's a believer. Her husband's a pastor. Godly couple. I said, well, how are you? He said, I was fine until I seen you. And I was, you know, how do you take that, you know? And he said, I said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah, I just put my hand on his shoulder, prayed for him. I'm crying by the time I'm done praying for him. He's a wet mess. And you never know the impact you'll have on somebody praying for him. Our prayers outlive us. We need to be praying for each other. We need to pray for each other, even in each other's presence. Now, thing that I said I was going to share with you, then we'll close. I literally experienced Titus chapter 3 yesterday morning. I woke up. It was about 8 o'clock, it was about 4 o'clock. I get up at 5, and I was just restless, turmoil. There's anxiety in my soul. Just thinking about even today's message and a couple other things that I cannot reveal to you what they were. And just there was just an unrest in my soul. And so get up and do everything that I normally do in the morning before I go on to work and do all that and go out, get in the car. And I started up. I go down the road, 2.5 miles from our house to the first stop sign is Weston. Okay, so I'm driving down the road. As I drive down the road, the stop sign's there, and I'll confess to you, I do a rolling stop 95% of the time at this. It's dark in the morning, no lights. You can see the lights, see traffic, you know. So I did. I did a rolling stop. Kind of, I was going 60, slowed down to about 30, slid right through. So I slid through. I can also tell traffic down. So coming from the east, there was somebody that was probably 3/4 mile down the road. So no big deal. Nobody was coming from the west. So as I drive, keep on going, get about 1/2 mile down the road. Well, then all of a sudden the car turns. And I thought, that's interesting. Now, I'm going to stop right there, because as soon as I got in my vehicle, I'm just crying out to the Lord. Say, God, I need your grace. These things that are troubling me, I need your grace to be able to preach this message. I need your grace to be able to work on this PowerPoint that I ain't got no clue about. Just crying, Lord, I need to understand. What do you got to do? You know, fearful. And then all of a sudden, I'm not being attacked, but I'm saying, Lord, is all my sin cleansed? How about my sin past, present? Lord, am I clean before you? And just communing with God. So a stop sign comes. I kind of slide through. 1/2 mile down the road. I'm still chewing on the Lord. The scriptures. God has given me scriptures. Meditating on the Word. All this kind of stuff. I see this car turn. Now see, cars normally turn coming from the east up to go north on Crockett. They always come from the west and turn. So for some reason, I just thought, that's odd. He turned, you know. I have a weird mind. So I'm driving. I'm still dealing with the Lord. Not dealing, but, you know, just receiving from the Lord. And all of a sudden, the car's on me. And the lights come on. Praise the Lord. And for me, I've learned that if a police officer stops you, I want to make him feel peace. So I always keep my hands on the wheel. So he gets there. I don't do nothing. I don't go fidgeting for my wall. I don't do nothing. So he comes up and he's cautious, window down. Good morning. Good morning. He said, you know why I stopped? I said, yeah, I ran through the stop sign. He said, yes, you did. He said, can I see your driver's license, please? I said, I'd like to get my glasses on my. So I'm going to reach out and get my, that's fine. Grab my glasses, put them on. Get my wallet out of my pocket. He said, is this vehicle yours? I said, yeah. He said, I don't need the registration. He said, this won't take long. I'm just thanking the Lord. I deserve a ticket. I deserve a ticket. Doesn't matter. I deserve it. He's in the back. Taking a little bit longer time, I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And then another cop car comes up, and I'm thinking, this is not good. You know? I know I ain't got no drugs in the car. Well, then that cop takes off. And he comes back. And this is what he said to me. He handed me my license. And he said, "Your record is extremely clean. Let's keep it that way. Be careful driving to work. Stop at stop signs." You see, I experienced this verse. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness which I have done, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You see, when He said those words, "Your record is extremely clean," I took that as the very words of the Holy Spirit based on that last 3 miles I just drove. And Jesus said, "Your record is clean, extremely clean." And I left there weeping before the Lord, saying, "God, that is nothing that I've done, but according to Your mercy, according to Your kindness, according to the grace that is in Jesus Christ, my record is clean before You, and I want to praise Your holy name." God is so good to us. He's so good to every one of us. And it's out of His kindness and His love for us that He just does great and wonderful things. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that You would help us to fully see Your kindness in all the things that we find ourselves in. Lord, it truly is not by works of righteousness, not in our best effort, not in the things that we can conjure up in our own lives, would ever be able to compare what You are to us. And so, Lord, we confess we need You. We need Jesus. We need Your grace. Please pour out Your grace upon us and change us, conforming us to the image of Jesus, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We just thank You that You uphold Your word and You are true to Your word. Thank You for revealing our Savior to us. And we praise You. But Lord, now as we go forward, help us to walk in the Holy Spirit so that we can be living examples of Your kindness that You have been to us so that we might be to others. In Jesus' name, amen.